There are so many days, if not pretty much all my days here, where even if I'm sad, I wake up here and I'm like, oh my God, I live here. Sitting in my room, look at what I created for myself.
Gehirnmus eines Mitzwanzigers, der Podcast. Hey there. This episode will be fully in English. Because I'm interviewing a young woman from Australia. And she decided to follow her heart and move to Berlin, a city where she would be absolutely alone without family and friends, a city that would even cost her long-term relationship to end. No one waited for her in Berlin. No one asked her to come. She didn't even know the language. But she had this idea, this little voice that told her that something brilliant would be waiting for her there. I want you to meet Jessie Sambra, one of the most smiliest, vibrant and fascinating human beings I've ever met. For me, she's the best example of what can happen if you follow your heart. If you follow your dream. Even if it means taking a big risk and leaving everything behind. There's no dream without sacrifice. Fast forward a year since arriving in Germany, she's now established the Design Kids Berlin community with now over 700 participants and is successfully running her own business in graphic design and illustration and still traveling the world. What I really want to know is how she did it. How did she overcome the sometimes paralyzing fear of starting a new life and do what the heart is telling you? We dive into discussions about creativity and what tools she's discovering and using to overcome blockages. And to overcome the fear of not being good enough or talented enough. What all of us experience sometimes. So lean back and enjoy the ride. Yeah, welcome, Jessie.
Thank you.
It's so, so nice to be here and to meet you again.
Yeah.
I felt like when we were seeing each other for the first time, it was such a strange environment. And I feel like this whole moment was so unreal. You were on your way to Berlin, and I was on my trip through Europe, and when we actually really met was in Berlin.
That was so much fun.
Absolutely, I loved it.
Such a crazy time, like me trying to find out where I was. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's cool.
What I was really, really fascinated by was your way of thinking and how you came to Berlin and what led to it. Mm. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
I think it comes in different parts because coming from Australia, I always felt a pull towards Europe. Like maybe it's because of my heritage, like way back in the, you know, the English connection. But yeah, I think I moved to France when I was 16 for an exchange for 6 months. And like my love for Europe kind of started there. It was just such a different culture to mine. And it was at a time where I was really frustrated with my life in Australia, like even at 16, which is probably a bit dramatic, but yeah, I was. I just wanted to shake things up. And so I was always drawn to Europe and I kept coming back every few years to like live here. I did Spain for 6 months. I backpacked for 8 months by myself. And like during that process of backpacking by myself, I was 20, 2021, and I fell in love with Berlin. And 3 days, it was going to be 3 days, turned into 4 weeks. And I think there's some really interesting moments in your life where you arrive somewhere or you meet someone and you're like, this something's going to happen here. Like, you don't even know what that even means. Like, something's going to happen. But there's like this weird energy that sits there. That's like this weird sureness that somehow in some capacity you'll experience something in that place or with that person. And I had that with Berlin and I had that with Barcelona for sure during my backpack trip. So I think I 2 years later, I moved to Barcelona, and then 2 years, like 3 years later, whatever, I moved to Berlin. So I don't know, maybe that's just like more of a, I chose that part, like I chose that destiny, or because it was already in my mind. But it became this thing that, like, you know, a goal. I went back to Australia to finish my degree after Barcelona. And then it was always just there, like, I want to live in Europe. I want to live in Europe. I want to live in Europe. I don't really know why. I just know that there's something there for me. And Berlin was like the perfect place to kind of like explore that. So, I mean, it took me a lot to get here. I think I had to, you know, I had to quit my job and move friends and break up with my boyfriend and all this sort of stuff. And I was like theoretically happy, you know, but like there was always this deep, deep thing inside me that was like, this isn't enough. And Europe, Europe, Europe. So it brought me here, and like nothing at that point, nothing could stop me. Like, I was stopped by my partner and I was stopped by, you know, the weather, which is how I met you, like getting stranded in Leipzig and getting stranded in Paris. But I was like, you know, I had that ticket in my hand and I was like, I'm going there and I'm going to do something great. And it's been nothing but like a complete joy ride here, but also like heartbreak as well. Like, leaving your country can be really hard. But like with hardship comes such extreme happiness. And like, there are so many days, if not pretty much all my days here, where even if I'm sad, I wake up here and I'm like, oh my God, I live here. Like, look at, like, sitting in my room, look at what I created for myself. Cause I am the sole creator of bringing myself to Berlin, and I created the experience for myself. And like, some of it is luck, but at the end of the day, when you want something really badly, like, and I wanted Berlin badly, that nothing was going to stop me. Yeah. Not even the fucking weather.
Wow. And that's especially, it's so crazy because you had nothing in Berlin.
Yeah. At that point, so like, I think, yeah, when I was 21, so I'm 26 now, when I was 20, 21, I knew a few people here because I had spent 4 weeks here and I was just, you know, roaming around, met people. And they all moved. I mean, that's typical Berlin, but I think I was very naive about that. I didn't really understand that that was a thing. So when they'd moved, I was so shocked. I was like, no, how am I going to do this? Like, I know no one. Like, I don't speak any German. With the other countries, I put effort into learning Spanish and I put effort into learning French before I arrived to some degree. But with German, it was just like, I hadn't even touched on German. And yeah, I arrived in October 2017 and it was like the beginning of, well, autumn was changing everything and the vibes were changing in Berlin. But for me, that's how I knew Berlin. I mean, I fell in love with Berlin when it was winter, like dead winter. Every time I visited, it was November, December, January kind of time. So I never knew the city in any other way. And it brought up like these big feelings of like, well, I have no other thing to do except to explore the city, like make friends and figure out how to stay here, because I had no job, no visa, no friends, no house. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's like,
It's enough.
That's like nothing, yeah. Right? Yeah, and I look back and I'm like, how the fuck did I do that? I still don't know. It's this energy thing again. I wanted to do something here. And I'm definitely doing stuff here. That's for sure.
But did you have doubts?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I don't think maybe not typical doubts. Like, a typical doubt would be like, okay, I can't, like, I'm incapable of this. I think I felt like I didn't really have that doubt. I knew that I was capable of making something of this. Like, moving to Spain was one thing. Backpacking by myself, I reckon, changed everything. Like, doing that when you're in your, you know, early 20s is, as a woman, I think as well, going around the world, because I did, like, America, most of Western Europe and India. And I think that really kickstarted me into understanding, like, how much power I have as an individual to, like, change my scenario. If I'm in trouble, if I'm unhappy, it challenged me in a way that you can't really learn just staying in one place. And so I knew I had the capability because I'd done it before, you know. I hadn't lived somewhere like that before, but I'd done something even more, in my eyes, even more courageous. So moving here in that regard I'm a social person. I knew that I'd find friends. I've never really had trouble finding people who are like-minded. The thing that bothered me was my career, because I moved over here particularly to explore art and design. And I, you know, as a creative, I think I questioned my talent a lot. And, the fear, the gut-wrenchingly large amount of fear that I had around the fact that I could find out I'm possibly not talented, or I don't have what it takes to be a good designer or a good creative. That was probably the most doubtful, like, petrifying feeling that I felt. Because I also, coming from a country that's on an island, like, how can you constantly compare yourself against the industry when you're not shown other cultures? Like, it's all online and that's fine. You know, you can email people online and interview them or chat to them or whatever, but it's an entirely different thing to, like, live somewhere and experience firsthand what the talent that you're up against. And Berlin is, like, the center of, like, experimental graphic design, typography, hipsters and, like, whatever. And I was, like, extremely fearful of not living up to that, or not knowing that I had a place here for that. Because, you know, that essentially would have broken my heart. Like, oh shit, I'm not a good artist. Like, what the hell do I do with my life now? Because I built my whole life around art and creativity and inspiration and community around that. So, yeah, that was probably the biggest doubt. I knew, I had faith in what I was doing, that I would find a house, that I would find a visa, that I'm good at organizing myself. I'm good when I really want something, I will do it and I will figure out steps how to get there. But how can you plan creativity? You can't, you know. How can you plan for jobs? Like, it can be really hard, especially in a really competitive industry and environment. So that scared me a lot. But that also had its own ebb and flow to it.
Mm.
That fear probably led me to jump in the deep end and freelance instead of waiting for someone to hire me, instead of putting my fate in someone else's hands, because that also puts my fate in their hands in regards to visas and staying in Europe. I decided to just take action and find my own work, which, looking back, is extremely, like, I can't believe that I did that, because I had no formal experience as a designer in a design studio. So I had a degree. Like, I was essentially a graduate designer that had been working for 2 years as an office manager in a creative studio, or, like, photography studio. But, like, that's it. So, yeah, it was pretty big move to jump straight into freelance and be like, yeah, I'm a graphic designer. You can hire me. I'm professional. And I'm like, I don't even have a website. Oh my God.
And you have to sell yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to really sell yourself. And I think I got quite good at that. It's something that I'm working on more now in regards to pulling that back and like focusing more on my work. I'm naturally quite driven to, you know, go out and network, to be in the industry, to share with people, to help other people get jobs. I mean, that's what I do now, sort of volunteer based. So the art of that was to pull now my main focus to pull this kind of thinking back and focus more on my art practice, because that's why I came to Berlin. I wanted, like, it's a dream of mine to have an art studio and just, like, flick paint on walls and go nuts, you know? And then if I don't earn enough money, I've done what I needed to do and I will go home. I don't really want to do that. But, I mean, like, if worst comes to worst, I still would have, like, done that. That's, like, my next dream, I think, apart from living in Berlin.
So amazing.
It's a ride. It's a ride.
And what really shocks me every time when you say that is that you were in doubt whether you have the talent or not. Because you especially told me that you have you had this collection of paintings from girl faces. That you were already very successful in. In Australia.
I was selling illustrations and stuff.
One even got viral.
Yeah, one time it went like, one of them got on Tumblr or something somehow. It all kind of started in Barcelona. And I was really, really getting into painting then, which is really interesting actually, because I had a tiny, tiny room. I was paying like 380 euros a month, not including like warm, you know, like water and electricity and whatever. So for Barcelona back then, it was also very expensive. And it was this tiny room with like a single bed and a desk that like you'd hit when you get out of the bed. Like, and I think I have this idea in my head now that I need space in order to create, when really I was probably at my height of creativity painting wise, where these girls were created in Barcelona, was on this tiny little desk in a tiny little room. And yeah, the drawings went viral. Like, I was sitting in a cafe one day with some of the friends I was doing the exchange with, and my phone just went nuts. It blew up. Like, my phone was like ding 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 ding, literally the sound. And then I turned it on silent, and I couldn't even swipe it up to like put on airplane mode. It was just like it overheated. My phone overheated and it shut down. It just shut down after like 15 minutes or something. And my friends are sitting there like, what is going on with your phone? And I'm like, I have no idea what, like, I had alerts on back then because, you know, I wasn't popular or anything. My art was just like, whatever. I'm going to stick it here and stick it over the internet. So for this to happen, I was like, I have no idea what these notifications even are. And, that was when it's interesting because that drawing that I posted, when it got on Tumblr, before I put it on the internet, I actually drew it in like, I probably painted it in like 10 minutes and I hated it and I scrunched it up into a ball and I put it in the bin. And like 2 hours later, I think I walked back and picked it out and I was like, no. Like, if you want to be like, I remember this really big thought in my brain. I was like, if you want to be like an artist, you should accept like the stuff that you don't like about your art and post it anyway. Like, just to see, it's a part of your creativity process. So post it. And I posted it and it fucking went viral. It was nuts. It's still my most sold print ever. And it's like this really dark girl with really like vacant eyes. There's no eyeball in there. It's just like a white eye with like blue all over it. And she's just like, she looks dark, you know. I called her Drina, the warrior of mankind or something. She looks fucking evil. Cool, but evil. Yeah. So, I mean, that's why I hated it, because I was like, that is dark. That's not me. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, most of my other work was flowery and colorful and pretty and fairy like. And then there was this, you know, dark, blue, evil, vacant eyed zombie that everyone loved. Yeah. So it was interesting, to watch that kind of take a life on its own for like a week or whatever on Tumblr. That was sick.
Crazy.
And that's when I started painting more. I was like, cool. I then went to, I got offered like, to take part in this exhibition in a skateboard like shop in Barcelona. And they invited all these artists to do paintings on old records, like vinyl records. Mm-hmm. And they gave you a particular record, including the cover for it, and you would have to paint the cover and paint the record design, and they'd sit next to each other. Mm. And I ended up painting like kind of the same thing, like these vacant eyes and things, and people were like really into it. Makes you think like, yeah, maybe I should paint more evil stuff.
I think you should paint whatever you like.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not about what other people think, but the reason why I probably don't paint that much of that stuff is because I think that it's like there's this perception in my brain that like darkness probably isn't allowed, or darkness isn't accepted by people. And, you know, don't cry in front of people. Don't, overshare judgment, fear of judgment of other people. So that's part of the reason why I didn't post this drawing, because I was like, I don't want people to know that I have this darker whatever that is. See, I don't even know still. Like, I mean, I think a lot of people don't know that about themselves, but yeah.
Yeah, so interesting that you still think you're not talented. Like, yeah.
I mean...
Or you thought at that time?
I don't remember what I thought at that time. I think I was just so in love with the fact that I was living in Barcelona and just doing, like, studying design. I felt so privileged to be there that I didn't feel like I wasn't worried about anything. I had a place to stay. I had a university. I had friends. It was beautiful weather. I was enjoying living there. And so when you're very happy like that, your mind isn't occupied with thoughts of like, you should do this or you should do that, because you're just like, oh my God, you're high on life, you know? I didn't speak much Spanish at the time, and the course that I was in was also Catalan. Like, they were lectures in Catalan, so I was quite confused with languages. So, you know, I thought, oh, okay, I probably feel embarrassed speaking Spanish. And then I was like, I'm so happy here. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to try. Like, I just... want to order a coffee in Spanish because I can, and they laugh at me, and it's all good. And it's like, you know, I think it's the same with my art. Like, I just really let loose there because I just was happy and wasn't preoccupied with as much as I usually am with these barriers or thoughts of like, oh, you're not talented, don't try. Someone else has already done that. Like, don't even bother. Yeah. I think half the courage of being a creative person is to just do it, like to just action, and to, if you want to paint, just paint, because you'll never get anything done if you're constantly thinking of what other people are doing. It eats you up. And I definitely have been through variations of that in the last, 10 years. And the art of that is like, and what I'm learning now is to, like, what are the tools and questions that I can ask myself in order to overcome that wall of the, you're not talented enough, you're like, you don't bother doing that because it's already been created. It's like, you could still create it and create it in a different way. You don't know what's going to happen, because that's the process of creativity. Like, you do something and it's never the way that you want it to be, which is really interesting, because something better can come out of it.
So what's the technique? What did you find out was useful?
I mean, I'm really diving into this now because I have the time and space to do it. Like, my first year in Berlin was definitely like, get your shit together, get a job, get friends, get an apartment, whatever. And now that I have all that, it's like I'm realizing it's time to like let go of the like go, 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 do, 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 and instead like fall back onto what I've already created and enjoy what I've created or enjoy the life that I've built. So now that I am starting to do that more, I like this, the course that I'm doing, this Conscious Creators course, which is 1 year here in Berlin, through the teachings of like my coach, I guess you could say, she is helping me or teaching me that I can instead like get out of my thoughts, because it's the thoughts that are stopping me from creating, and move through my body, like use my body as a tool for creation. And that sounds probably very hippie, but like in that I mean, how can I change the physicality of this moment or the emotions that I'm feeling this moment through my physicality, through my body? And I mean, many times I'm sitting at a desk and I hit this wall of blockage, like I don't know how to do this, and it's not the way I want it to look. And it's sometimes it's simple, like, you know, my shoulders hunch over, I start getting tight in my chest, and I notice like I'm not breathing much. And like, no wonder I can't think creatively. How can someone think of new ideas when they're just like stuck, you know, their body is stuck? So she's helping me realize that like by getting up and like simply changing my environment or moving, dancing, not talking to someone, because that's exterior, that's out of my body, like to go in and really like, you know, not stare out the window, because I'm very good at that, just staring at the trees and thinking my life, but to stand up and like use tools such as like exercises, yoga positions, dance, this idea of like playing, how can I play with my movements? And particularly for me, like dance is very inspiring. I'm very obsessed with music and techno. So, you know, how can I harness music as a tool to get out of my brain and into my body? And it's working really well. like so well, it shocks me sometimes that I can simply within 15 minutes, if I have the courage to like, you know, sometimes it can be really annoying because you're like, oh, this is ridiculous. This isn't going to change my way of thinking. And when you actually do it and you have the courage to like put on some loud music and act like an idiot for like 10 minutes, you feel like a kid again, and you're like, okay, I now have this new energy that wasn't there before for some reason. And yeah, then the wall changes. Maybe you have another wall after that, and that's fine. Like, move through it or sit with it. But I think the thing is now I'm starting to really see those walls and identify them. Like, what are the blockages? You know, emails for me are big blockages. Cleaning, like I'm like, oh yeah, cleaning's perfect right now because, you know, this is the time for cleaning. Nope, it's not. It's the time to sit down and figure out how to create this. Okay. And yeah, I'm figuring out the blockages, and movement's helping with that. Community's also helping with that too. Like having like-minded people who are doing similar stuff to me on a similar journey.
So it's very, very interesting that you say that, because I feel this kind of techniques are also useful for any kind of work. Like when you're writing something, when I was writing my bachelor thesis, for example, I could use these techniques as well, because you could get stuck in this is very easy as well.
Yeah. We get stuck in loopholes in our brains. They're smart. Yeah. In this course we're doing, like we call them our petty tyrants. Being like this voice inside our head that, I mean, it's you. It's essentially you, like the devil part of you, the tyrant who comes in and goes out when it pleases. And it convinces you to do the most stupid shit.
Yeah.
I mean, like even just looking about like relationships with past partners, like the amount of weird, stupid things that come out of your mouth sometimes because you're jealous or your tyrant inside of you is like insecure and you're trying to explain how you feel, but you just can't tell people how you feel because you think it's not allowed or accepted or whatever. And like, yeah, these tools that I'm learning are applicable to all of this, like emotional relationships, work, any sort of work, friendships, situations in the public, like public spaces, people can annoy you sometimes. Sometimes you get angry, you know, you're like, get out of my space. Particularly for me, I don't know if it's like a German or cultural thing, but like I noticed when I'm in Alexanderplatz, for example, it's a massive area and someone decides to walk right next to you. Or right behind you. And for me, maybe I culturally... Oh, no. This happens all the time. Male, female, whatever. Like, it's like how you have so much space. Walk a meter away from me at least. Like, and yeah, I mean, I'm noticing things like that. And usually I would get extremely, like, you know, agitated. And there are definitely moments like this. But like with the creativity thing, it's about, for me now, I'm noticing that I'm getting angry, or I'm noticing I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, they're the problem. And it's like, no, I'm allowing this situation to affect my experience right now. I wanted to enjoy my work to work, but they've ruined it for me, you know? And now I'm like, dude, that's funny because I'm the one thinking that. Yeah. Like, I have control over my emotions. Same as my work. I have control over my work. It's the emotions that you need to get to understand more in order to push what you want. And like, take it back to my story of moving to Berlin. I wanted with all my being to be in Berlin. So there was nothing that was going to change that for me. Like, the experience that I wanted and I desired with everything that I had was to be here. And it's the same with creativity, with work, with whatever, that if once you feel that in your body, like, you know, what's going to stop you?
And it's so crazy that you created this dream for you, for yourself. And now you're in Berlin, you're a successful designer. And, but what
sounds weird you saying that? I'm like, oh, really?
Yes, you are. Of course you are. But how did it develop? I mean, like, how did you decide to, study in the first place?
This and many, many other questions we will cover in the next part of the interview. Till then, see you, mate.